We are going to be beginning the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so this morning, I actually was going to have Vijay talk with you this morning and just share the whole message with you. But as I got to thinking about it, I thought, you know, we need to talk about this so that you understand a little bit more about what we're doing, how it's going to happen, and why we're doing it. And so, you know, at the beginning of the year, resolutions are things we often think about, but I want you not to think in terms of resolution, but I want you to think in terms of reflection and planning for 2018. When I was considering this process, I got an email from Scott Rideout, who is the president of Converge Worldwide, which is our national, international group that we're associated with. He had written some things, and this is what he said in his writing. He says, "I have sensed our need as a movement to return to the foundations of corporate prayerfulness." Corporate meaning large group, okay? So not just one church, but all the churches of Converge, which is thousands of churches. The key to our fruitfulness, according to Jesus, is knowing him, abiding in him, connecting with him, relying on him, seeking his will, and doing all things in his power and for his glory. True faith, fruitfulness will not happen without true faithfulness in prayer. So, coming from Scott Rideout, they developed this 21 days of prayer and fasting. And they are asking all churches. And so I brought this to our elders, and I says, what do you think about this? And they all agreed that this is something we need to do as a church. We need to participate in this movement of placing prayer at the foundation of everything we do, and including within that a sense of fasting. And so I want to take you to a passage of Scripture in John 15:5 this morning. It's there on the screen. And this particular passage of Scripture is saying this very thing. Nothing will be accomplished for God apart from God. Nothing will be accomplished for God apart from God. That's what Jesus says to us. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So let's just put that in simplest terms. If we are connected to Jesus, listening to what he wants us to do, doing what he wants us to do, being, in a sense, abiding in him, we will produce fruit. If we are disconnected, we will not bear fruit. As I look at life and I look at our lives, and sometimes I just wonder for myself, okay, so I'm just speaking about myself. Sometimes I struggle with trying to hear God's voice, to understand what he wants us to do, where we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to proceed. And I've noticed in the last 6 months that it's just become increasingly difficult, and I have been distracted by a lot of other things. So my question to you and to myself is, do we need something different? Do I need to reconnect in January? And my statement to myself was, I need to do something that is going to up the ante, reconnect me to this Jesus who said he, to Jesus who will give us fruitfulness in our lives. And so my question is, how do we reconnect in January of 2012? And I think we need a spiritual breakthrough. I know that I do. I need a spiritual breakthrough. I have some things in my own life that I'd like to have breakthroughs in. They can be physical, they can be spiritual, they can be a mixture of those things. I have some family things that I would like to see spiritual breakthroughs in. I have been praying for people for a long time, and I just not seeing what I would like to see happen, because I know it's God's will, but I'm just not seeing. And I'm not saying that I'm going to force God's hand. I just want God to move in a way that can only be attributed to him. I want to see God at work in our lives and in my life, in the lives of my family members, in a way that when I look at it, I say, you know, that was just a God thing. That was a God thing that happened. There's a passage in Scripture and a story in the book of Mark, the 9th chapter. And before I go to this Scripture right here, as you read it, you can see that his disciples are asking Jesus, why can't we cast out this evil spirit? No. So the story goes like this. Jesus goes up onto the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, and he has a transfiguration where they see who he is. They see his divine nature. They hear the Father speaking to him. But at the base of the mountain, down at the bottom, are all the other disciples. The other nine disciples are down at the bottom. And a man comes to these disciples, and they have already been taught how to cast out evil spirits. God, Jesus has given them the commission to do those things in his name. And so this man comes to them and says, he brings his boy to them and says, would you please get rid of this evil spirit that's in my son? Because he's causing great trouble in his life. And so the disciples try to cast out this demon in Jesus' name. And it doesn't go anywhere. It just stays. So Jesus comes down from the mountain, and Jesus looks at them, and he says, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out, and the demon leaves, because Jesus is the one who said it. And so the disciples say to Jesus afterwards, when they're alone in the house, why couldn't we cast out this evil spirit? Jesus replies, this kind can only come up by prayer. And then I put in parentheses, and fasting, because often there are some manuscripts that add that particular phrase, and fasting. So let's talk about this. Why could Jesus cast out the demon and the disciples couldn't? Because we know that Jesus was in constant prayer with his Father, and he says in John that he doesn't do any work that his Father doesn't already know about and has already given permission to. And so Jesus is in absolute tight connection to the Father. The disciples, in their naivety, probably were not as tight. And so they couldn't cast out this demon. Jesus says it can only be cast out by prayer. Prayer is a dependence upon God for what is in our lives. Prayer is saying it's not my will that I want, but it's your will that I want. It's not my purposes, it's your purposes that need to be accomplished in my life, in the life of my family members. It can only be cast out by prayer. And then some manuscripts add fasting, because fasting and prayer go together. They kind of fit together, because fasting is a way in which we put an edge on prayer. It's a breakthrough that we're looking for, and let me share with you a couple statements about prayer, about fasting, that I think are pretty important. And this is kind of out of my order, but fasting by Matthew Henry says, fasting is used to put an edge on prayer. It makes it edgy. It makes it cut faster. Another man by the name of Alex Gee says, fasting is not about changing God. It's not a mystical experience to gain God's approval. Fasting is not about changing my world, but about letting God realign my heart toward his purposes. Fasting is a deliberate abstaining from the normal routines of life. Its purpose is to spend focused time in prayer and the study of God's word, seeking to align our lives with God's will. Ultimately, fasting is more about replacement than abstaining. It is filling our lives with God's word instead of food, social media, or entertainment. So as you think about those things, and we're talking about a spiritual breakthrough, and Jesus' comment that when we need a spiritual breakthrough, which is kind of like what these disciples needed, they needed a spiritual breakthrough to be able to cast out a demon that can only come up by prayer. They needed a spiritual breakthrough. They needed a point where they could say, okay, we're going to pray about these things. We need spiritual breakthrough. I need it. And if I need it, I'm sure that we all could use a spiritual breakthrough in our lives in one shape or another. So let me ask you a few questions about this. What is a great matter that is in front of you? This thing is rubbing. Do you have a loved one? Excuse me, back up. Do you have a loved one that is far from Christ? You have someone in your family who is not walking with the Lord, is not in the same position that they were. They're kind of wandered away. Do you have someone in your life, or do you have something in your life that there's a critical decision that needs to be made? And you need some help understanding what God's purpose is in your life. Is there a relationship in your life that's falling apart? Are there things that you're struggling with? Is there a marriage? Are you struggling in your marriage? Are you struggling with your teenager or with your children? What is it that's going on in your life? Is there a sin in your life that you need to gain victory over? You know, we all have those little pet sins that just keep cropping up in our lives all the time. Do you need a victory over a sin? Do you have a desire to share your faith with more boldness? Most of us know we need to share our faith. We understand that, but sometimes we just can't get it done because we need boldness. So what's of a great matter to you? So one of the things I want you to think about as we start into this process, this 21 days of prayer, and I'll talk about it in a little bit, is to think about, why would I fast? What would be the purpose of my fast? It can be multiple things. And that list up there, I can probably talk about every one of them in my life. All right? So they all fit me. And so those will be some of the things I say I'm fasting for. This is what I'm praying and I'm fasting for before God. I have a loved one that's far away from Christ. I don't know about a critical decision in my life or my family. I don't know that I have one of those, but is a relationship falling apart? No, but you know, every relationship can have a boost, right? Is there a sin I need to gain victory over? Yes, there's a sin I need to have gained victory over. Is there a desire to share my faith with more boldness? Absolutely. So what about matters for the church? Well, number one, I really believe we need to have more opportunities to share our faith. We need to pray that God will give us opportunities. I want us to continue to pray for more baby Christians. You've heard me say this many times. I'm still praying for 100 baby Christians to come into this body. Praying for greater spiritual growth. Of all the things we need to grow up into Jesus. Become more mature. We need more passion to serve the Lord. We need a greater dependence upon God in prayer. And so I invite you to join me and the elders and the leadership of this church in 21 days of prayer and fasting. And let me explain how this works. First of all, it begins tomorrow, January 8th. And what you need to do to join in this is just simply to pray daily. Now, I'm not talking about praying like you normally pray, okay? I'm walking out the door. I'm praying as I go. I'm praying as I go on my drive. I'm not talking about normal routine. I'm talking about replacing normal routine with something different. So if you normally pray in the morning, my suggestion is to spend a little extra time in the morning praying. Just dedicate it to the Lord. It can be anywhere from 5 to 30 or 40 minutes, whatever you want to do. But spend some extra time and dedicated time of prayer with some specific goals in mind, the goals we just talked about. What do you need a spiritual breakthrough for? Secondly, if you would like to fast, and this is one of those things that is kind of up to you. It's not mandatory, because prayer and fasting sometimes are not connected, but they are connected here. So if you would like to fast, you need to choose a fast. So let me walk through the types of fasts that we can participate in. We can begin. This is the most complete fast, and this is a full fast. And it is you drink only liquids only for 21 days. Now, before you say, yeah, I want to do that, number one, I want to caution you. Okay, this is a very severe fast. And if you have medical conditions, if you have age conditions, in other words, if you're older, okay, and you want to do this, I strongly urge you to talk to your doctor before you do this. Because this is without food, only water for 21 days. So please be careful about this one. I'm not trying to not tell you to do it, but I'm trying to tell you be careful when you do it. I have done a 3-day fast of water only, and by the third day, it affects you, okay? And so when you do this one, if you want to do this one, just be careful. Make sure you have medical treatment and you've checked with counsel related to it. The second one is a Daniel fast. Eat only vegetables, fruit, and water and juices with a minimum amount of carbohydrates for 21 days. This is the particular fast that God has asked me to do. Okay, I believe that fasting should be done in secret, but I also think you need to understand a little bit about the process, and so I'm going to share my process with you so you can understand from my example what I'm going to be doing. I will be participating this one right here for 21 days, eating vegetable, fruit, and water juices for that time frame as best I'm able. And so that's a Daniel fast. The next fast is called a partial fast, not eating one or two meals on a specific day or abstaining from a specific type of food. This might be, you say, I'm going to abstain from all refined sugars for 21 days. Great, okay? One of the things about fasting I want to share with you is you need to choose a fast that's related to an issue or something that you struggle with, something that you really, really enjoy, you are going to sacrifice. So I love sweets, okay? I don't know about how many. So that's the reason I've chosen a Daniel fast, because there really are no refined sugars in that fast, okay? So I'm trying to get away from the refined sugars, and I'm going to fast for those things. So a partial fast is not eating a specific type of food. You can do that, or you can just say, you know, on this day, I'm not going to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm going to fast for this whole day, or I'm going to fast for one meal out of this day. And instead of eating during that meal time, I'm going to dedicate that time to prayer and reading the scriptures and asking God to work in my life. Now, as a church, the minimal amount that I'm going to ask you to do is we will have a fasting day on Thursday for the next 3 weeks. And on that day, I'm going to ask that you join me in not eating food on that day. Now, the one meal that I'm asking you not to eat is the noon meal. That's the minimum. Just don't eat the noon meal, and during that time, pray. We will have a time of prayer here in this area on that Thursday at lunchtime. Come on in here, and it's just going to be a time, a little kind of a directed prayer time for about 30 minutes so that you can get here and get out of here and get back to work wherever you want to go. So that will be kind of the minimum if you want to participate, all right? Some of you may say, well, I want to fast the whole day on Thursday. Great. If that's what God calls you to do, then that's what I want you to do, okay? So I will participate in that fast. Or you can choose a fast like this. This is an activity or media fast. This one really fits with many of us because some of us are so addicted to our phones and the things that are going on our phones that we need to maybe say, I'm going to set that aside for 21 days. Maybe it's a Facebook fast. Some of you say, oh. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a television fast. I'm not going to watch television. Maybe it's a Fox News fast. Maybe it's I'm not going to read any newspapers. I'm not going to watch any of the news that comes across. I'm going to fast from that. Maybe it's a social media fast where you're going to say, I'm going to step aside from all social media. So one of the things I like to do is I spend some time on Pinterest looking at ideas for my shop and stuff, and I am going to fast media-wise from Pinterest. I'm actually going to remove the icon from my phone for the time being, 21 days. I don't want to be a part of it. And so you can see how this can be a mix and match, but it's what God asks you to do. I've been praying about what God wants me to do for several weeks, and these are the things that have come to the surface. They kind of floated up and said, you know, you need to kind of get rid of this social issue, this thing on Pinterest. You need to get rid of the refined sugars, and I want you to eat healthy. That's what the Daniel fast is, eating healthy for 21 days. You know, I want you to lead the church in this process, to pray. And so as we move into this 21 days of prayer and fasting, it begins tomorrow. You can pray daily. You can choose your fast. But also, I want you to understand that you should have some breakthrough goals. Why are you fasting? Why would you do this? Secondly, next one is feast on God's word. Make sure that you're in the scriptures in this process. Asking God to use his word through his Holy Spirit to touch your soul and to change you. And then fast in faith. I think this is the critical one. Fast in faith. Expect God to do something different in your life, to change you, to change our church in the next 21 days. I invite you again to the prayer and worship gathering tonight at 6 o'clock here. And also, I'd ask that you would consider going to this particular website. There it is. Converge.org/21-days-prayer. Here you'll find a lot of information about this movement, as well as some guides that you can use on your electronic equipment to help you walk through this process. A lot of the things I've talked about are inside the guide. And so if you still need a guide, okay, and you don't have access to electronic media, okay, then you're not going to download it, and you need one, please let me know, and we'll make sure we publish a couple more for you, okay, specifically for your needs. So I guess what I want to say to you this morning is this. All in all, every one of us could use a spiritual breakthrough in one or two ways in our lives. There's not one of us that can say, I got it all figured out. I'm walking as close to God as I could possibly walk. Not one of us. I want to encourage you, number one, to pray this for 21 days. If God leads you fast, then join him in the fast if he leads you to the fast. But take this 21 days as an opportunity to reflect on your life, to plan on what God wants you to do, and ask him to change your purposes to meet and match his purposes. With those things involved, if we sincerely ask him for those things, after 21 days, we're going to have some stories of what God has done in our lives to change us. And so it's a great day to celebrate the communion table. I asked the servers if they would come at this time. There is no need to go back over all the things we know about this table. We all understand that the bread is Jesus' body that was given for us. And then when we take it, we are remembering his death until he comes. The fact that he's coming again should be sufficient reason for us to celebrate this and to say, Lord, make us ready for your coming. The cup is the blood of Jesus. It's a representation of the blood of Christ. It is the forgiveness of our sins. It represents that. So as we take it, we are saying to Jesus, we want your purpose in our lives. And so we will do this as we often have done here, and that is we'll take the bread individually. And once you've confessed before the Lord and set it at ease with him and you're at peace with him, then eat the bread. And we will take the cup together as a group of men and women and children who are able to take it. And as we take that together, we are saying to the Lord, we want to do what you want us to do. We want to join you in this movement of reaching people for Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask Newton if you would pray for the bread this morning.